So, with you all teleported into these strange realms by Val Sharoon, the lairs will take their turn first. So, starting in the Fire Realm with Cal, King, and Horatio, after you nimbly dodge the flames, you see Val Sharoon's shadowy figure off a few feet away. You see him start to move his hands, waving them up and down like a conductor waving a baton controlling an orchestra. And as he does, the lava that surrounds you begins to pulsate and bubble until finally exploding up into a fiery hellfire of a geyser, raining down these rocks and molten lava onto you. I need you all to roll me dexterity saving throws. So we have Cal with a 29, King with a 21, and Horatio with a 21. You all succeed. So you nimbly jump back and forth, dodging, rolling onto the hot rock that's floating on this liquid magma. Some of the flames do hit you and singe, and you all take 23 points of damage, and if you are resistant to fire damage, you take half of that.
Got eight all my temporary HPs.
As Val Sharoon waves around and you keep bobbing and weaving back and forth, you hear him cackle.
You meddlesome interlopers, welcome to my domain.
And it is Val Sharoon's turn. All right, so Val Sharoon will go. So he's going to go ahead and... Val Sharoon raises his hand up. As he does, his left hand then goes down to a one finger pointing up, where you see this red ball, very tiny, but grows and keeps growing.
Counter spell. All
right, go ahead and roll a...
I'm doing it at an increased level, so I'm going to do it at the fifth level.
So you go ahead and counterspell as his finger is going up, growing bigger and bigger. You release the counterspell using your reaction, and poof, it fades away.
And that gives me a second power surge point.
Okay. Vashrun, he will looks around, seeing that his magic has been dissipated, and will float to the back of the Fire Realm, and will end his turn. Lair action, everyone in the sky map, so that is Julian, Duran, and Monaco. The Shadow Val Sharoon also does the same motion, moving his finger like a conductor, as this floating island, this beautiful island as you look around, but it looks destroyed. All these runic symbols and these archways broken, glowing as well. And as he does... You feel a jerking motion as the island is thrusted. The winds pick up and you're just barely keeping onto it. I need you to roll me strength saving throws to see if you can stay on the island as it is floating, hurtling through space. And I will roll for Julian, the Mage Slayer. Okay, so we have Monaco with a 20, Duran with a 17, and Julian with a 16. So, Duran and Julian, you both fail. Monaco, you hold on tight, gripping on, using your tail and anything else you can to stay onto this island before you're thrusted off, as Val Sharoon stands in the middle on top of an altar, floating there in a shadowy figure, laughing in the background. But with Duran and Julian, you are thrusted, pushed off of the island, are just free falling down further and further. As you start to look for, after a few moments, you see what looks to be another island floating there, before moments later you are crashed down onto it, appearing in the same spot you were before next to Monaco, but taking a massive amount of falling damage. You both take 53 points of bludgeoning damage as you are thrusted through the space, warped through. It's almost like you fell down and came up from the sky back down to your spot as you're just crashing. The bones in your body starting to break from the impact as Val Sharoon laughs in the background. He will also get a turn against the rest of you. He will look on over at Julian, clasping his shadowy hands together, and then open them up. As he opens up, there is a black energy that begins to swirl into it, releasing a blast from him. It flies straight towards Julian, and he has to make a constitution saving throw. which he fails with a 13. So Julian takes an additional 41 points of necrotic damage.
Blasted, you undead fiend. I will destroy you.
As he begins to slowly, as his body begins to move slower, and you can see the pain, just cuts and bruises, and it looks like his left arm is broken from the impact. That will end the lair / Valsharoon's turn. Next up, in the sky map, Monaco, what do you wish to do?
Yudrin, to me! She'll spend an action to summon her familiar to appear next to her. She quickly lays out, she's still holding onto the ground. As she gets herself up, she says, grab the potions from my pack and make sure everyone's okay. Give us as many as you can.
All right. Yudrin appears and he's in the visible mode. He's not invisible.
As his preference, she summons him. She calls to him. I imagine he prefers to be invisible, right?
Yes, he does. Okay, so he appears before you, visible once again. Oh, invisible to you, invisible to everyone else in his same type of suit. He goes ahead and starts to, does it say he has to roll initiative? Or does he get your initiative?
He would have to roll initiative. And if I should fall, make sure to save one for me. She will hand over two potions of healing.
One who just regular potion of healing?
She's a greater potion of healing and a regular potion of healing.
Oh.
And she's instructed.
You gave him.
Go ahead. Yeah, she gave him both.
Okay. How do you want to use it? On you or on allies?
She says if anyone drops, give it to them.
Okay, if they drop.
Yeah.
All right. As you command, Yudrin says as he grabs it from you and begins flying up, but he will move on his turn. Anything else? You have a bonus and a movement?
She will simply. Stand up tall and move into a position aggressively, but she will not be using her bonus action this turn.
Okay. All right. Up next in the fire realm is Cal. What do you wish to do?
I begin running in front of the group to try to get some space between them and myself to kind of attract the attention away from them. I know King can't take too many of those hits with his heart the way it is right now. So I'll move away from them and I'll pull out I think I already had my revolvers out, but I'll raise one of my magic revolvers and first I'm going to cast Branding Smite, and my eyes kind of light up white as I invoke Kalemvor. Oh, Kalemvor, guide these bullets. And then I will use my magic revolver to fire a shot off at the lich.
Okay. That is quite the hit. 28. Roll that damage.
And I will also use a third level smite in the process.
Alrighty.
So.
And he is undead, if that matters.
Didn't you just do a smite?
No, so I cast the spell Branding Smite, which gives an extra additional 2d8.
Oh, and then you can also Divine Smite on top of that.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay, cool.
And he's also undead, so apply that extra.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was the damage from the Magic Pistol and the Smite, or the Branding Smite spell. Okay. And then
13 points of damage.
The Divine Smite itself, upcast to third level, as well as it being an undead.
A lot of ones.
Yeah, bunch of ones. I can't do anything about that.
12 more points of damage.
Yeah, 12 more points of damage. And that's the first shot. So the second shot, I keep my aim steady and true, firing off another round from the pistol.
All right, roll that attack.
That's a unnatural 20.
Oof, that's a hit. Roll damage.
And I used my bonus action already, so that is all of my attacks. And my turn.
All right, I'll go ahead and apply that damage.
Guys, we need to get out of here.
It's not my turn yet, so I can't
speak. Reaction.
Speaking's a reaction.
Alright, so, Kals, you go ahead and take out your pistols. You charge it with the holy energy of Kalimbor, shooting over at Val Sharoon the shadows. You strike him, you see part of the shadow dissipate where your holy energy is there, and it slowly begins to reform, though there's definitely a piece of it missing. He looks on over, and he does have a skeletal, decrepit face with his like that black crown onto it, and you can't really see emotions, but if you could pick up on anything, anger is coming from Val Sharoon as he's focusing his eyes, his beady green eyes shining onto you. Up next is, on the sky map, Duran.
After getting the wind knocked out of him from crashing to an island, Duran is going to re-steady himself, look over at Julian, and knock on the point his blade at Val Sharoon. Let us apply pressure to him. We outnumber him. Where is everyone else? Don't let him get away. And Duran is going to rush up on Val Sharoon and then go to the opposite side of him. And then he's going to swing with Firethorn.
Alrighty, roll that damage. Attack, I mean. All right, 27 hits, roll that damage. Nice, 15 points of damage onto Val Sharoon as your flames cut through his shadowy figure. You don't feel like you've made any contact with something tangible, but indeed you do see part of the shadow diminish onto Val Sharoon as it slowly comes back and his gaze focuses on you. Continue your turn.
His eyes narrow as Duran swings again, this time at Val Sharoon's face.
Oof, 29 hits, roll damage. 14 more points of damage onto Val Sharoon as you continue your onslaught of slashes.
And Duran will spend his bonus action attacking as well.
Another hit, 27, roll that damage. 16 more points of damage, so you continue so with slashing, attacking more and more, knocking away at the shadow that is this form of Val Sharoon. Before you end your turn, you go, Val Sharoon is going to take a legendary action, and he is going to... He goes ahead after you go ahead and strike him with it. That shadow that you've been carving at dissipates off of his body. And then around him in a 20-foot radius, it's this mist that appears. And you begin to cough and it begins to burn at you, Duran, as he casts Cloud Kill.
As he's... We can all see this from...
Yeah. Even,
okay. As he begins to do that... Minaka will attempt to counter it. As she holds up her wand and shouts another word of power to stop the spell.
Okay, go ahead and roll me your spellcasting modifier. I believe it. Or is it?
Yes, as a fifth level, I should add, as a fifth level spell.
Oh, you're doing it as a fifth level.
Yeah, she always casts a fifth level because she's a warlock.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. All right.
DC 10, rolling a 23.
23. As the shadows, Duran, you begin to cough and feel the burning sensation of this smoke that's coming, of this poisonous smoke that's coming with Val Sharoon. You all of a sudden, it gets sucked in and dissipates once again. Val Sharoon shifting again, looking at Minako as she successfully counters the spell of the Cloud Kill.
Get him, Duran.
But Duran, still your turn?
Well, no, that was the end of his turn.
Oh, okay. All right. Up next is Eugen, who no one is down, so he will just get himself into a better position, flying up into the air, ready to swoop down and heal someone if they are downed, as you have commanded. Up next, King on the fire map. What do you do next? As Val Sharoon's in the corner, looking like he's preparing something, as Cal finishes onslaught of holy bullet shots.
I will look towards Horatio, and in my pouch, I'll dig and pull out a bottle and pop the cork, and like not even give him a chance to fight me on this, and I'll yam the bottle into his mouth and be like, "Take this," and give him a regular potion of healing. And as he's as he's fighting me and gurgling, I'm going to start chanting, and I'm going to hold my hand to his chest as I hold the bottle in his mouth with the other, and I'm going to say, I call for the guardians of the sacred forest, and I call upon the oath and the ones who bound me. I bind this man and ward him and cast warding bond on Horatio.
What level spell is that?
It is a second level spell.
Got it.
And that will give him... plus one AC, plus one to saves, and resist all damage. But I take half of the damage that he takes. Or I take the other half of that damage. 8 points of healing.
All right, so go ahead and give yourself 8 more points of healing, Horatio. Oh, looks like you did.
Awesome. I did so.
So, King, you go ahead, shove the potion bottle down Horatio's throat and cast your warding bond, connecting the two of you. As you do so, Horatio, you feel yourself being replenished, though you're still hurt as you surge in your Archon mode. What else do you wish to do, King?
With our platinum rings glowing abound, glowing and him bound, I'll take a few steps towards Cal just so that way I'm still within range of that good on Kalimvor aura, and I will sort of just ready myself for the next thing and focus on Val'Sharoon.
All right. Horatio, you're up next.
Horatio will move forward 10 feet and say, "Thank you, King." And looking at Val'Sharoon, he will cast... he will attempt to cast Blindness Deafness on him, and I'm going to see if it succeeds. I'm choosing Deafness. Actually, no, Blindness.
Val'Sharoon succeeds with a 27. He is very constitutional. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, fortitude it is.
And that was my action. For a bonus, I am going to... Fearful that I am actually kind of can get easily hurt, I am also going to drink a healing potion. I have a regular potion of healing, I believe, in my bag, which is a 2d4 plus 2. So I'm going to do that now.
Use a bonus action to quaff it down.
That is 7 points of healing. And that is the end of my turn.
All right. So you go ahead and heal yourself with your potion, trying to cast upon Val'Sharoon. He sits there and laughs as the easily able to overtake your spell.
Foolish wizard, I was born many eons ago. I know magic. I am magic.
I will break you.
Horatio, if he's magic, maybe we can dispel him or dispel the zone.
It's a possibility.
Up next are the Bone Nagas, who are in another dimension, so they will skip their turn. Up next is Julian, the Mage Slayer, who will...
Second Wind.
Use a second wind, yes. Who will use a second wind, because he is very hurt. So he gets back, let's see. Okay. He gets back 15 points of HP. I rolled really low, I'm sorry, Julian. But it is better than nothing. That was a bonus action. And now next, for his action, he will run up and attack Val'Sharoon. Having advantage, as he is now across from Duran, using that, he takes out his blade as it opens up, the hilt becoming more like wings as they ka-ching! And there's a glow, a silver glow onto his long blade as he slashes down onto Val'Sharoon. Let's see if he'll actually hit this time. He has advantage. A 29! So that hits. Doing 24 points of damage. And as he strikes down, you all hear an audible woo-woo-woo-woo that almost seems to pierce your brain. It's not painful, but you feel this kind of psychic aura coming off of his sword as Val'Sharoon starts to go screaming in pain from the attack. He gets another attack at advantage. 26, which hits. He's gonna do it again. Another 25 points of damage onto Val'Sharoon. As you hear Val'Sharoon scream in agony from the slashes of this blade that is being welled by Julian the Mage Slayer. I know exactly what you mages. I know exactly the weakness of your mages. It's your mind, and I will tear it apart, bit by bit. And he'll end his turn. Top of the round. The realm will take their terms. So, lair action. We'll start off this time with the sky map. I'm going, as Valshun looks around him, he moves and whips his fingers back and forth, conducting once again, and the island is shifted. I need all of you to roll, which is Duran, Julian, and Monaco, strength saving throws.
Oof. Monaco with the 4.
Oof.
No saving that.
Duran with 18. And Julian with the...
You know what? I'd like to use one of my lucky die to reroll that strength saving throw. Taking me down to 1.
And an 18 again. Is
wow.
That one? No,
the fates.
But an 18 and a 16 for Julian. Oof. That's a failure from all of you. So once again, as the island is shifted, you are thrusted off of the island. You see it below you as you start to fall before crashing directly back in the spots you were. Your bones cracking, you all take 53 points of bludgeoning damage as you are crashed down. So Julian is knocked out.
Monaco is immediately knocked out, going up to her exact hit point total with that one. And as she does so... this sort of painful moment rolling on the floor, a shadowy essence comes out of her book and envelops her, and she is instead at 1 hit point, thanks to her ability, warlock ability.
Okay. So you all fall, and then you're not landing prone, you're just landing exactly where you were, but then taking all the damage as if you had fallen, and just it ruptures throughout your body, cracking all your bones, but falling down to the ground, you see Julian knocked out.
All will fall to the power of Valsharoon the Breaker.
And then we'll go to the next lair action on the fire map. I'm going to need all of you to make dexterity saving throws as you see him conducting the flames, laughing and cackling as they're exploding up, falling onto you.
Make sure you add 4.
I'm gonna use my lucky point, bringing me down to 1. Okay. Much better.
Alright. Much better. So Cal with a 20, King with a 21, and Horatio with a natural 20 to make a 32. You all succeed once again, taking half damage as the raining inferno upon you all, and Cal obviously taking a quarter.
Horatio will take a quarter, but I'll take his other. I'll take that as well.
Okay, so I'll let you apply. I won't roll the damage. So I'll let you apply it since it's doesn't factor in. But
you said it was 22?
55 points of damage halved.
So 26.
That's a lot of damage, man.
Yeah.
He's a healer.
Alrighty then.
Got this.
It is now Valshroon the Broken's turn. So we'll start off with the sky map. Valshun will look on over at Duran, smiling and cackling. He will go ahead and... you're so close to him and he can't get away. So instead he will take his, the staff, and you see that he kind of whips out this snake staff, golden snake staff with glowing red eyes. And when he does, he takes the bottom of the staff and smashes it onto the altar that he's on. As a thunder wave crackles across, I need you to make a constitution saving throw, Duran. Monaco, you are just out of the reach of it.
Constitution, USA.
19, that just fails. Alright, so you take 2d8 thunder damage, and you are pushed 10 feet away from Valshroon. And as you are pushed away, Valshroon will float away to a safer position, back to the altar, to the archway to the north of this map. So that was the Valshroon on the shadow, on the sky map, on the fire map. Valshroon over there will instead, let's see, Cal, he'll look on over to you. It's a wheeler of holy light. He does not like you in his domain, and will take out his hand and point and stick it out, pointing out towards Cal before releasing this red blast going directly towards him.
Horatio's gonna counterspell again.
All right, what level are you counseling?
I'm going to do 4th level this time.
All right, roll me that ability check, spell casting check, because that's not enough to counter this spell.
Okay, let me just click the slot real quick. All right, and Does that succeed or fail?
It's 10 plus, that fails.
Okay, I would like to activate the reroll on my staff.
Okay.
And try again, please, please. There we go.
Ooh, you lucky son of a bitch.
And that gives me another point of power surge.
Indeed it does.
And as I do it, you're not going to cast magic around me, Valsharoon.
Valsharoon looks visibly upset, even with his skeletal face, as he is unable to cast his very powerful spell. And instead will scowl at you and end his turn.
Scowl at Cal.
Alright, back on the sky map. Monaco, you're up.
Monaco will spit out some blood and then stare down Valsharoon from across the way. Pausing for just a second and breaking out into dance, and she will begin her stone dancing technique. Stone dance vagary, diamonds ballet, and she will begin to and as she begins to dance, spinning around as the shards of crystal, I hope, begin to grasp at Valsharoon. She will begin to fire out Eldritch Blasts. You will not stop us today. Your evil stops here.
Okay, so as you go ahead and do your dance, the ground, the rock that you stand on, it's indeed rock and something that you can control. And it's tough at first for you to control it here, but you're able to grasp the earth, the ground, the stone, the crystals within it. And they all shoot up, grabbing onto Valsharoon, hitting the mist figure. And as it does, you notice it goes right through him, and it doesn't seem to be able to capture him, pierce the mist itself. Like, there's nothing for it to hold on to. So it comes up, hits him, but unfortunately he doesn't seem to grab anything as he's in this weird incorporeal mist form.
So, she will fire at the actual crystals with one of the blasts in an attempt to shatter it, cause some damage there. So, throwing out those Eldritch Blasts now.
All right. Go ahead and roll an attack.
Oof, 15.
15. Well, since you aimed at your crystals and they're not hard, you as you go and fire at Valsharoon, Valsharoon dodges out the way, but instead you arc the one blast to hit the crystal. As it does, it strikes it, exploding it, causing many shards to go and pierce into Valsharoon, still doing damage nonetheless. So you do roll damage.
That is 12 damage.
12 points of damage. Since it was the crystals that shattered, I'll say it will do half damage. So even though you missed him, it did strike with that extra one, since you were able to hit one of the crystals.
Excellent. And another two blasts will attempt to hit him squarely as he's out of position with a 28.
That hits. Roll damage.
Another 13. Or other 13. And one more for a 32.
That is a hit. Roll that damage.
An 11 points of damage.
Okay. Those of you looking in the fire map, see Valsharoon as he looks a little bit like maybe you get a sense of fear or anger, you're not sure on his face, but more and more of his body is starting to dissipate. And now at this point, the world around you is starting to wobble and shake. Its stability is starting to let up. And you see him look around in anger. And then, of course, the Valsharoon in the sky map, the same thing happens. Anything else you wish to do in this turn?
Don't let me fall, Eudrin. That's it.
All right. Up next, back onto the fire map is Cal. What do you wish to do?
I see Valsharoon kind of freaking out a little bit and kind of, like you were saying, like phasing in and out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I will nimbly run across these rocks, holstering my magic revolver and getting within 15 feet of Valsharoon at this point. And I just sling out the over-under shotgun with using my bonus action to really channel this another branding smite. And that uses up the spell slot, correct?
Yes. Okay.
So I will channel that through the shotgun as I unleash, squeezing both triggers at the same time.
Alrighty then, go ahead and roll your attacks. It comes out in a 15-foot cone, which he's totally in.
And I will use a grit point to reroll that, as it was an as it was a 3. Slightly better, 7, and that hits with a 19.
19 hits. Go ahead and roll that damage.
All right.
18 points of damage as you strike with the first bullet, and then first bullet hitting as it sprays out, blasting Valsharoon, make as holes start to appear, and he looks more like a Swiss cheese as the domain starts to crackle. The rest of you are holding on, even those in the Sky Realm. You start to hold down a little bit as it starts to shake. The background begins to fade away. The lava begins to start to fade away, and the air in the Sky Realm begins to turn to nothing as everything starts to warp slowly but surely. Still your turn, Cal.
Knowing that I would need to reload this shotgun after firing both shots, I'm going to sling it back, reaching over for the Demon's Bane, and I look at Valsharoon straight in the face, and I just I say, "Go back to the Nine Hells," and I unload the lightning bolt from the railgun feature of this gun.
Okay. He succeeds.
He does. Damn. So...
but still takes a half damage.
Yeah.
Okay. So, as you go out and whip out your railgun, as it fires this blast of lightning, Valsharoon tries to jump out the way. First, he sticks up the hand to see if he can counter it. Unable to, he tries to jump out the way fast enough, but it strikes him, and all of a sudden, he dissipates, turning into nothing. All of you are warped out of your individual realms, back landing square into the middle of the room that you were in before, that's currently engulfed in flames from King's earthen spell that made it all rough terrain, as well as the flames from that you all shot off. You appear all together.
Horatio's flames didn't do this, for the record.
So give me one moment to get you all to come back.
Because I put, I grew the thick
canon
bramble.
That Minako's fire is hotter than usual.
So you're all gonna appear right in the fire, because it's basically pretty much taking up the entire area. Julian, who failed a death save, by the way, because he took damage from the Thunder Wave, because he automatically failed. So I should mention that.
Oh, Julian.
So sorry.
Okay. Well, I'm almost done.
It's a bit fucky.
You can go ahead and close those maps. As everything dissipates and turn back, you appear back into the dungeon, the Bone Naga screaming in pain as the flames are erupt, and you all land into the flames. So when you end your turn, you'll take some fire damage. But nevertheless, as the roaring torrent of flames surrounds you, Valsharoon appears opposite to you up the staircase where he was before, looking back to his normal full corporeal self with his golden snake staff and his crown of thorns on, very upset.
"You have destroyed my domain. Then I will destroy you!"
Continue your turn, Cal.
"It's not if I don't destroy you first." I'll use the rest of my movement, which I believe should be 20 feet, to get to the base of the steps. And I look up to where he is, pulling out my magic revolver once again. And with that action surge, I'm going to launch an assault.
Alrighty, so then, target him and attack.
Oh, it was too small. That is a natural 20 for a 33. Oh. And I'm going to definitely use a second level smite with that.
Alrighty. So that also gets doubled. I don't know if it'll automatically do it.
It should. first. Let's do this damage. Let's...
All right, 16 points of damage as you blast onto Balsharoon.
Upcasting, undead.
Oh, goodness.
That's a difference. That's the difference, ladies and gentlemen. 37.
As you go ahead and blast him with this holy energy of Kelimbor, Balsharoon screams in pain. And Cal, because... Roll me a perception check, Cal.
Perception. It's an unnatural 20.
Okay, you hear Balsharoon whisper under his breath,
Lord Hades, grant me strength. Give me the power to defeat these foes.
As I hear that, I'm going to launch out my second attack for the action surge. Kelimbor, help me balance this atrocity and send him back to the underworld. 17 hits.
Ooh, it just hits. Well, actually, before you do that...
Oh, no.
Nope, it's fine. He's not going to...
He's not
going to
shield?
I'm going to see, does he have shield? Yes, he does. He's going to cast shield as a reaction.
Hold on, let me see. Am I in range counterspell?
Oh my gosh!
I might not be in range, though. 60 feet! I think I am. 65 feet! Just kidding, I can distance cast it, because I'm a sorcerer. Fuck you. I will meta magic, and as he starts to channel shield, grass and flowers will grow at his feet and suck the energy into it.
Okay. You hear him like, what? And you can continue with your attack.
Good job, King.
Everyone, let's work together and finish this fucking guy.
Alright, so you do 7 more points of damage onto the Lich.
Yep, and that's my turn.
At the end of your turn, legendary action.
Oh,
he will.
There we go. That's why he was looking at my health.
He will reach out his hand.
Die, warrior of Kelimbor!
And release a black ray at you, Cal. I need you to roll me a dexterity saving throw. Okay. Roll me that spellcasting modifier. Well, I should say, are you in range to counterspell?
She is.
Oh.
Is.
Yeah, 60 feet.
Yes, just barely. 820.
Okay. So as he goes ahead, firing another black beam of Cal, it dissipates. Not attacking him and possibly doing a shit ton of damage. But up next is Duran the Gale.
Duran takes the opening, and as he sees the shots fire off, the beam fire, he's going to try to charge, he's going to charge the Lich. He's going to use 35 feet of his normal movement, and then using his bonus action, take the dash action to get 35 more feet to get directly up to the Lich.
Okay. Cal, you take 1 point of flame damage, so you do not take any damage. Or it's half rounded up, so it would be 1 damage. So you take 1 point of flame damage at the end of your turn, Cal. But continue. So, Duran, you run out of there, managing to get out and not taking any fire damage as you pass through the flames, getting right in front of Balsharoon. What do you wish to do?
He's gonna attack.
Okay. 19, that hits. Roll damage.
And he's gonna also he'll throw 1d8 combat superiority die on that as well, and make him make a DC 18 strength save to stay on his feet.
Okay.
If he's
all right, he is immune to being prone. He's alive. Just okay.
Then it only adds 1 damage to it, and then he'll attack again.
33, that hits. Roll damage.
And Duran, following Cal's lead, he's going to Action Surge, and he's going to attack again.
Natural 20, doing 24 more points of damage.
He attacks one more time.
Okay, 15 more points of damage onto the Lich as you start to piece about him. Bones and his tattered robe starts to fall apart and singe as you're slashing with Firethorn over and over again. You just hear him. Anything else you wish to do in your turn?
Stay down, demon.
Okay.
And that is the end of Durant's turn.
See if he has another legendary action to take. He took 1. Legendary action. He will... I need you to make a constitution saving throw, Duran. 24. That
24.
Succeeds. Okay. He goes ahead and says, you hear him shout out a word in Do you understand Primordial? Oh, okay, so you don't know what he says. And none of you can hear
no.
him. I mean, he's not shouting it. He's just saying the word.
Oh.
And as he does, you hear, Eknakemuk! And when he does, this energy comes out, hits you, Duran, and you start to feel your body seize up, but then you're able to break it off, and you see the shock and look on this undead sorcerer's face his power word did not work on you.
It will take more than that to fall me, sorcerer.
Anything else you wish to do on your turn? Oh, I see. Yeah, that was the end of turn, duh. Okay. You don't go. No one's downed, so he will just continue floating above the...
Julian's downed?
Oh, yes. Julian's down. Thank you for reminding me. He will fly Julian's to Julian. Eugen will go down, following your commands, going to Julian, who's in the flames right now, would probably die, and starts to give him the potion. You gave him a greater and a normal. Mm-hmm. He will probably use the greater, thinking that would heal him more. Actually, he's evil. He'll probably just give him the normal. Actually, I'll leave it up to you. Do you want me to give him the normal or the greater to Julian? Right? Because you gave him one of each?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Eugen would just give him whichever one is more expensive because he doesn't care.
Okay, so greater healer potion, which is 12 points of healing back towards Julian. Okay. As this invisible vial gets poured down into Julian's throat, you hear what happened? What happened? And as he looks around, sees the flames crackling around him. So that will end, and then Eugen will fly back up away from the fire, and that will end his turn. King, you're up next.
I would like to hold Caliburn up in my hand, and as I do, I'll flourish it and start to dance and swirl, and I'll shout out, "You are a failure and you are lost. Welcome to our domain. It's my turn. King's Royal Dominion. Water Vagary. Activate." And I will start to dance around my friends. And I'm hoping that I'll use 2 points of my Royal Dominion and hope that I can make the mist thick enough to actually just put out the flames around us, hopefully, since I can emanate in a 20-foot sphere around me. And that will heal... Is that 20? I can't see the fucking... Hold on. Yeah, that's 20. I will start to... this healing mist will sort of coalesce around my allies and provide a soothing balm on their skin. And I'll hold Caliburn up, and through this mist, a bright green light will start to emanate and wash out and illuminate as I cast Mass Cure Wounds. And I call forth the healing of Myleki, and I will target 5 people, and I'll target the 5 of us that are within range. So Julian, Horatio, Monaco, Cal, and myself, and I will cast that. Boom! Giving us 22 points of healing. We also get 2d4 from my Royal Dominion, so that's another 7. And it procs the regen effect at the start of your turn.
Alright. So, as you go ahead and do your Mist Vagary dancing, the fire around you instantly goes out, as it does create the mist and there's a water effect. Before, when you were in the North Row, when the other Mist Dancer did it, you saw that it was wet and humid inside it, so it's the same effect, putting out the flames that are just within that 20-foot radius, though it's still burning on around the rest of the room.
As I dance and spin and survey the scene, I will see that the Bone Naga is still alive, and feeling my connection with Chastafo, I will start...
Califo?
Califo. I will make a few hand motions and send it only 20 feet, because it's slow as shit, towards the Bone Naga, and prepare to attack it as my bonus. So that's my action bonus and movement.
Okay. Horatio, you're up next. Well, actually, at the end of your turn, I'm just going to do it now. It will use another legendary action. The Lich seeing this happen and all this healing happen, and it will begin to Valsharoon will go and put his hand towards his mouth and just blow out of it. And then you see in the area where King put his mist, another mist starts to form there as well.
Quick question, DM. Being that
you
it's
don't
the end
reacting
of.
You back because it's not the start of your turn. And it starts to form a mist in that area that gets bigger and bigger. And where the healing vagary is, another mist appears instead of there. And he will engulf it with Cloud Kill, which is literally the same exact radius. But that was casted. And the effect of Cloud Kill, let me just make sure I have it correct.
I mean, I have my reaction back because it is my turn. Can I use my reaction to counterspell and flavor it as my mist? I'll activate the cleansing purge effect that I learned when we were on the lake, and it starts to absorb this poison that he spewed out and just sort of nullifies the kill.
You have to roll a check, see if you were able to dispel it.
Yeah, because I would have done that at a third level.
Yeah, and a third level? Okay.
Yeah, so my check is plus 11. No, I'll use my last lucky. Actually, I'm going to use my favored by the gods feature and add my plus 2d4 to that. 21.
21, okay. So the mist fades away and the cloud kill dissipates. How many spell slots y'all got left? Damn.
I'm checking my spell slots off. I got plenty too.
I'm checking. I still got plenty.
Yeah. Still, well, not really.
Well, that's all that he can do until the start of his turn.
You are cutting into resources. Don't you worry.
All right. But Horatio, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's my turn now. Okay. Horatio will say, "Thanks, King. Gives me a clear view." And I will move in front of King in order to not get Duran caught in the disintegrate that I'm about to throw at this little litchy lich over here. And you guys see Horatio's Archon power swelling as he will release the three power surges that he has along with this disintegrate. So let me make sure I target him. Yes, and cast. So he succeeds, so he only takes half damage of...
He took the full damage, but... Let me just do the math so he gets back. So it's 120, so he took 60 damage? Okay.
He took 60 damage, yeah. Damn.
Okay.
And as he's releasing this in Primordial... Horatio will say Echtun Danar, which if Minako's close enough, she will understand as "you will break no more," and he releases the disintegrate ray. And with a bonus action, he will go into Archon of Peace and increase his AC.
Alrighty.
And that is...
So you go ahead and use it to send
that is the end
blasting
of
Valsharoon,
my turn.
Hitting him, he's able to just dodge out the way, but it strikes him nonetheless, doing a massive amount of damage, and it looks like he's on his last legs.
Julian!
Minako, you're up next. Oh, no, the Bone Naga's up next, I'm sorry. The Bone Naga will take flame damage. Oh, Horatio, never mind. You guys are outside of the flame. Okay, the Bone Naga will... You hear... coming from Valsharoon as the Bone Naga listens and starts to use his movement to get towards the rest of the group. It has... Let's see how far that is. Yeah. It will move 30 feet. Actually, it doesn't need to move that far. Yeah, it'll still move 30 feet. It can only move 30 feet. So the Naga will go down. It will go down toward, looking square at Minako and Julian. Its eyes will start to crackle before letting out, it opens up his mouth, and you see this this bluish white light go as it releases a lightning bolt again, shooting across, hitting Julian and Monaco. I need them both to make dexterity saving throws. Julian is still on the ground, so he has to make it at disadvantage. So you take 13 points of damage as you're struck by the lightning. However, 26 goes to Julian, who is still alive. You hear Julian, as he gets electrocuted. And there is where the Naga will end its turn, taking more damage from the flyer. All right, up next is Julian, who gets healed for 4 from the King's Dominion. He will use half his movement to stand up. He will look back. Handle the lich. I'll get this one. He will use a bonus action to Misty Step in front of the Bone Naga and will make his attacks against it. First attack, 26, which hits, doing 19 points of damage. He will then swing for his second attack, 32, which hits, doing 26 points of damage. And the Bone Naga crumbles and he goes, Die by my blade, you undead scourge. Slashing it, it disintegrates, popping into bones and then into ash before dissipating into the flames. At the end of his turn, he will... Oh, he still has his movement. So he will walk back into the protective sphere and end his turn. Up next, it's top of the round. Lair action. So, as the lich looks around and sees that his minions have been destroyed and he's on death's door, he will once again begin moving his fingers like an orchestra, conducting the orchestra as the room begins to shake and shudder once again. Instead, this time, you are not warped or transported to another plane, but these ghostly hands come out of the walls, out of the ground, even through the flames, popping through King's Dominion and grabbing on to each and every one of you. I need you all to make constitution saving throws.
Ooh, I get a +4 because I'm near Kyle.
Me too. Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle.
Them calories.
You're welcome.
But I'm pretty constitutional.
I am going to use my Ilrabu bonus to add a d8 to my roll.
All right.
And I'm going to use Dark One's own luck to call upon the aid of the Burning Hand and add a d10 to my roll.
Okay. So then we will sound off. So Cal, final number.
A 17.
17. That is a failure. Monaco, final number.
An 8.
8. That's a failure. Duran, final number.
It is a 23.
That's a success. Horatio, final number.
That is a 20.
That's a success. King, final number.
24.
That is a success. So, Cal, Monaco, as these ghostly hands come up out of the ground and wrap their tendrils around your legs, you begin to feel your energy being sucked out. And then, in the same fashion, this black energy is starting to come and go into Val Sharoon. And you hear him go, yes, yes, yes. But the rest of you who succeed are able to stave it off, your energy not being sucked in. But Cal, Monaco, you are drained of... Let's see, how much is that? You're drained of 30 of your hit points, and 60 goes back to Val Sharoon.
Oh, boy.
Ah, but I do not have 30 points to give.
Ooh, if you don't have 30 different begins, then you don't get all of it. How much do you have to give?
17.
17? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Monaco, you are sucked up, drawn all of your energy as you are passed out onto the ground inside King's Dominion, which on your next turn you'll get healing. in King's Dominion.
Like this.
Healing regens, so you have to be at 1 HP to regen.
You are 100% right. Okay. So you are knocked unconscious. Everything fades to black, Monaco, as you fall to the ground. So that's 30 plus 17 is 47 hit points back to Val Sharoon. I just need to do the math. Alright, there he is. He's still really hurt, though. It's more of his body starts to regenerate. But he's really hurt. I will say you guys can notice that he is... he was on death's door, but now he's healed and is back to getting to death's door. But Monaco, you fall unconscious and you feel weakened, Cal, as your energy sucked up. Good job, everyone else passing. So, that is the action of this. So now it is Val Sharoon's turn. Duran, you're right in front of him. He does not want you to be that close. So instead, he is going to get back all of his legendary actions. And this time, once again, take his staff and slam it onto the ground. I need you to make another constitution saving throw as he tries another Thunder Wave to push you away. 29 on natural 20 succeeds. Okay, so you take half damage, but you are not pushed back. Target you, and there it is. All right, there you go. Taking 4 points of damage. He will... it's dangerous being here. He's going to run. You get opportunity attack. He's going to fly away. It's at 50, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. To the back of the room. You get an opportunity attack to run now.
Okie dokie. I'm just moving my map to accommodate.
15 misses. Okay.
I'm going to use my last lucky point today. To reroll that.
Go ahead and root. 28 hits. Roll that damage.
Ooh.
12 points of damage to the Lich as he flies away. Let's see, he was here. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. No, he gets more. He gets to go in way into the back room.
He's going to, when he hits, he's going to also deal 1d8 additional damage with the combat superiority die. And he's going to allow one person to move up to half their movement without provoking attacks of opportunity. He's going to look and point at Cal and give him half his movement for free right now.
The Lich go?
He ran into the other room. I'm going to actually reveal it so the man you'll be able to see. Yeah, I'll reveal the entirety of the room. It's fine. That's about all you can see from where you are anyway.
Okay.
Duran, roll me a quick perception check.
27.
27. Oh, right. Nice. You see that he's running towards what looks like to be some type of large circular altar with statues of many different people on there. You're not sure who the people are. You'll have to actually investigate it and use an action to figure that out. But you see that he's flying to this, hands out, trying to use as much speed to get towards this altar with these many different statues on it. But nevertheless, it's still...
Do I have to use that movement right now?
Don't you use your reaction to do that?
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll do it because I want to get closer to shoot this kid.
Kid, he's Valsharoon the Breaker. You would treat him with respect.
So that moves me another 15 feet closer.
Okay, but you are stepping into the flames again.
Okay, I'll move right at the edge.
All right. Duran, it's still your turn. Oh, no, it was his turn. He ran away. Okay, and that will end his turn as he runs away. Monaco, roll me a death saving throw.
Oof.
That is
a 5.
That is a failure. And at the end of your turn, you take additional damage from the... Oh, no, you're in the thing. No, you don't. You're good. So that is one death saving failure on your part. Monaco, as you cough up, and you all look over and see Monaco on last legs. Eugene looks down and looks to be ready to you can't see because you're unconscious, but Eugene ready to fly down and save you. But it's not his turn yet. Cal, you're up next. 5 more points of healing to you as you're in within King's Dominion.
So the first thing I'm going to do is I look over to King and Horatio, but mostly King. Heal her. We can't lose anyone.
Go!
And
go.
I'll start running up the stairs, and my movement gets me to the top of the stairs where I see the Lich. Mm-hmm. For my bonus action, I'm going to reload the Demon's Bane.
It's actually an action to
reload. Oh, shit, it up. Yeah.
It's an action to reload.
Okay, I see.
We were cheating for a while.
It was an action. Then I'm just going to continue firing my magical revolver.
Okay, what's the distance on your revolver?
60.
Okay, so you're good. I think you're just within 60.
Yes.
Okay. I hope for some nat 20s. I mean, you could... Well, we'll see. 26 hits.
And for the first shot, I will use a level 1 Divine Smite.
Alrighty.
Because that's all I have at this point. I have one level 2 spell slot left, but...
Did you add your extra damage for being an undead?
Yeah, it's one extra d8.
Okay. All right, 16 more points of damage. Once again, Valjean was looking really weak. He's like, as he's slowly floating and trying to get there, desperately trying to reach.
Just fire the second shot.
Altar.
A 30.
That's a 30.
And I'll use another first level for a Divine Smite. And I'll use my bonus action for the third shot. Firing one last attempt before he would probably be reaching 23.
Oh my goodness, that hits. He's on his last legs. How much damage can you do, Cal? Describe your killing blow.
I race up to the top of the stairs, almost out of breath, seeing my friends falling beside me. And I like I mentioned before, I close my eyes and I reach out to Kelimvor to guide these shots, each one laying into this lich, with divine energy radiating from the barrel of this gun as the divine smites just rip this lich apart, finally with one last shot, flying into the back of the skull of this lich, the light leaving its eyes as the bullet exits the front of the skull.
So, Cal, as you run up to the, as you run up towards the edge, getting out of the flames, looking back at King, telling him to heal Monaco, you go, take out your pistol, firing one shot at your father's bullet, shooting it as behind you, you all see that Cal becomes bigger almost, or like his shadow raises up. There seems to be a presence of something else, someone else, as this large figure holds on to the gun, the pistol as well, pulling the trigger at the same time as Cal. It shoots off shot after shot, hitting Valcheroon, then another shot, hitting him again, as the last shot goes to time seems to slow down as it spirals. Going, Valjrun trying to reach the altar, his arms stretched out to touch one of the statues as the bullet hits his head and a white light shines as Valjrun, you hear it go, no! And this turns into dust as nothing. His staff falling to the ground, his crown falling to the ground, his clothes falling into the ground, as nothing but dust is left, his bones turning into ash, and you have killed Valcheroon the Lich. Or so, as you look on, you see just spectral black energy start to float up and quickly dash towards the altar before disappearing.
I would like to try to use my arcane prowess, keeping in mind that he has a phylactery that might be spirit realm, to sense where that might be at, to see if we can destroy it or he regenerates.
Okay. I would say, all right, go ahead and try to reach out, putting your hand down and sense the area. It's befuddled and crazy here. You need a focus point. Just touching the ground in this area, it's not enough. This place is tainted. You probably have to do a little bit more if you want to sense where it is. Maybe find something to focus on, something to touch, something to draw your energy to. Just the ground itself is not enough.
Okay, I'll go then. I'm going to go over to Monaco, and I'm going to... do we see Eudrin or no? But I'm going to try and get there before he does. And I will coddle her head and pick her head up, and I'll touch her face and touch her cheek, and I'll say, I'll always be here for you, and cast heal, and give her 70 right. points of hit points.
So, Monaco, Eudrin flies down, immediately stops. And you open up your eyes, you see King, and then you see behind him is Eudrin, who stops there holding the potion as you are brought back to life.
And King...
Are you alright?
I was for sure that it was all over.
I'll never let you go. I'll heal her. Yeah, I'll heal her, and then hold on to her, too.
Alright. So you go ahead and heal, and you regain those hit points. Everyone, for the most... Well... Oh no, you all got massively healed, so you're all, for the most part, you all are healed, though the flames still crackle in the background. Julian, who's one of the most hurt, goes and says, is it done? Did you do it?
Help them find the phylactery.
So Horatio would like to run over to the statue, and he will say on brain chat, he was running towards the statue, I'm going to inspect it. And
statues. Well, there are several statues there. You're just running in that direction.
Statue. Yeah. So I'm going to get close and kind of. I don't want to get messed up by this. I'm still an Archon of Peace, and I want to touch the
Well, let me let you know what the statues are.
Yeah.
So you can decide. So, standing before you, see there are eight statues. Each look to be... there's a statue of thimbles. So, you see there is a statue of an oak tree, statue of a trident, a statue of a bow, a statue of a winged hat, a statue of a spear, a statue of a hammer, a statue of a black helmet, as well a statue of, looks to be, a peacock.
So there was a...
So they're all symbols, they're not people, I'm sorry.
They're all symbols. There was a...
Oak tree, trident, bow, winged spear...
Winged hat,
hammer, spear. Black helmet, peacock.
They're two separate things. No, yeah.
Oh, winged hat, spear, okay.
Winged hat, spear.
Do not look around carelessly. There is no way he did not leave traps over his weak points.
And I use my divine sense, DM.
All right.
Ah, well.
So, in like a 60-foot radius, I can sense the presence of any object in this situation that's been consecrated or desecrated.
All right. So, Cal, you reach out with your divine sense and feel around these eight symbols, statues that are within this altar, circular altar. You definitely feel the presence of undead, dark energy around you everywhere, but you try to focus directly on one of these. All of these seem to hover some type of strange, dark energy, but roll me a religion check.
A religion check, you say?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be bad. 13.
13. They're all giving off this. There's definitely something enchantment or placed onto these, or some dark energy, necrotic energy, been placed onto them. Where it seems to be focused the most, you feel it strongly on the statue of the hammer, the black helmet, the spear, and the oak tree.
Just before I killed the lich, Valsharun mentioned Hades as if that is the god that he prayed to. Do you know if any of these symbols align with Hades? Hades is the foil to Celemvor, the opposite part. And Celemvor's symbol is the scale.
Off of the top of Horatio's head, DM, does he know, with his sage background, does he know of any information that would symbolize Hades, and are any of these matching to that? I know that Valsharun had a staff, but I don't see a staff amongst this list.
Roll me a history check.
14.
14. You might have read it in a book somewhere, but even with your keen mind, it was so long ago. You didn't really do much research on the new gods. Mostly you know about like Bahamut that you praise and all the old gods that worship in the Broken Lands. The new gods are a section that you're not really too sure on. You do recognize that these are religious. These are definitely religious symbols, especially you, Minako. You are a priestess of Nyx, who is a Aegis. So you do recognize that indeed these are symbols. Off the bat, these are symbols of the Aegis. Nyx's symbol is not among these. But you didn't really focus on a lot of old ones. So since you know that, you can roll me a history check to see if you're able to discern. Or a religion check, whichever one. 10.
You know a lot about Nyx. I was trained in religion. Can I check a religion?
You know what? You get it at advantage because you have the power of Myleki in you and you have access to her memories.
Gods within. As I walk over, I will have kept up the dance a little bit just so we didn't have to walk through the flames and also to heal everyone a little bit more.
Dance through the flames.
Yeah, dance through the flames a little bit, push them off. And then, so I'll be the last one to come. And then when I do, I'll start with the oak tree, as that one seems familiar to me. And then I'll slowly tap into the, memory and minds within as I look to these and try and see what I can discern. 25.
25, okay. You go ahead and concentrate. go into the memories of Myleki as you dig deeper, trying to actually access the thoughts, the power of your goddess, of you. It's a hesitant at first, the burning hands mark causing a sort of block from that, but rolling a 25, you're able to push past the burning hands' influence, albeit weaken his protection on you slightly, but you push through the pain and begin to go through Myleki's memories, seeing the world of Eustacia, seeing the gods old and the new, and the oak tree, and you see the leader of the gods, Zeus, flash by, and his benevolence, his omnipotence, his sheer strength. You flash through, and you go to the trident, Poseidon, warrior of the water, controller of sea creatures, falls through you. The bow, as Apollo, flashes through your head, meeting Apollo. The winged hat, as kind Hermes flies past you as you smile up at him. The spear, as the war-heavy Ares stomps by with his armor clad on. The hammer, as the kind but jolly large Hephaestus starts to create new weapons for the rest of the gods in Eustacia. The peacock, the wife of Zeus, Hera, she with her motherly demeanor as she protects. And then finally, you see the black helmet, the helmet of Hades, ruler of the underworld. How he was once Celeborn, now someone else, not the same. Their dispositions are different. Their attitudes are different. Hades is darker, more malice than kind Celeborn, who only wishes to balance everything. You get a sense of chaos coming from Hades, where just. And then as that image flashes by in the memories, you snap back into reality.
After flashing back, I'll sort of... It's the helmet. It's the black helmet. It's the black helmet of Hades.
As soon as King says that, Horatio will walk over the black helmet and say, I know what might happen when I connect with this. Be prepared. And he will touch it and arcana it to see if he can detect if this is the phylactery, if there this will point him in the way of the phylactery.
Go ahead and touch it and begin to delve deeper into the magic of this. Roll me a wisdom saving throw.
Is Cal within 10 feet?
Well, Hades, Cal is on the outside and you walked into the... So no.
So no, because I'm currently 10 feet away from him now. So yeah, no.
Would All it right. help if I definitely would be following saved. Him over there first? As soon as King would say that, I would join the fight. I have a special vendetta against Hades.
So you're following him as well. Yeah. Then you also roll me a wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
At advantage, so you get plus four.
I get plus four, and also since I'm an Archon of Peace, I also have another plus two on top of that. So that gets a 6, which brings it up to a 23.
I had a 27.
23. Mm. That's exactly the number you needed. So you both succeed with a 23 and Cal with a 27. Yes, so you both succeed. As you touch it, you start to feel something come across your mind as the fear of touching this comes upon you. You just want to... You want to end it all. Just not wanting to live... Join Valsharoon in death. Give your soul on to him, and as you're beginning to give into that power, the power of Celeborn protects both of you, casting off this mind magic, and you're able to stave off the power. Since Cal, you're next to it, as you touch it, without even needing to arcana it, just succeeding in the save, the rest of you see Cal and Horatio get warped, sucked into the statue of the helmet and disappear.
What have they done?
And I'm gonna need everyone but you two, Cal and Horatio, to step into the void. Alrighty. So, the two of you were warped into a black plane, just nothing but darkness. Without using your divine sense, you just feel death around you. Void, nothingness, Cal. As Horatio, your body's in tune with this, you feel hopelessness and despair. From the shadows you see glowing in the background is a strange lantern-like chalice. Floating in it is a black soul that seems to be getting larger and larger, but very, very slowly. It's like a small light that seems to be getting ever so brightly every so often. And it's an undead soul. As you guys walk up closer towards it to further investigate in this darkness, the light that's casting off of this lantern creates a large shadow. As the large shadow starts to come, a figure of darkness rises up out of it, clad in this black armor and the helmet similar to what you have touched to get in here, until it becomes a fully black armored individual. This individual has a large axe on his back and a sword on his side. And as he steps, you hear the screaming of souls every step he takes, until he becomes face to face with you, and you just feel fear and death at this 10-foot tall, massive buff humanoid figure.
So, the warrior of Kellimvor, my other half, has come. Thank you for releasing me into the world. I don't like being trapped in the underworld.
We'll put you back there soon enough.
You've opened Pandora's box, and there's no closing it again. You may have defeated my minion, Valsharoon, my loyal servant, but I have others. Other liches who will rule the multiplane. I care not of the Aegis and the Prolepsy. I care only of extending my domain. And I will not be stopped by the mortal key. Already my clutches have made grasp. My plans are in action. Quit now, and I promise you an easy, gentle death, warrior of Kellimvor.
I will lock you away.
You will try. And you will fail.
And he turns over to Horatio.
Child of Gaia, I will feast upon your flesh. Your divine power will fuel my kingdom. Your mother is nothing. Doramo, Erebus is nothing. Eros, Halaster is nothing. I rule all. I will rule all. Enjoy your victory while you can.
And the figure gets... Oh, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, while Horatio's shooting daggers at him, he also kind of tries to look past him and look at what I would surmise is the phylactery.
Mm-hmm. It's there, glowing.
The lich.
In his dark, necrotic glow. And Hades gets really close to the both of you, towering over you. Grabbing his armored hand, he places it down. You jump back instinctively as he slams it into the ground itself. And you hear, as souls wrap out, they spin around you, lifting you up into the air before the domain that you're all in begins to shatter and crack. And you both are thrusted out, landing head over heels into the circle, with the phylactery landing down right in the middle as well, still glowing, and the rest of you. And all you just hear is the cackle of Hades ringing in your ear. And I'm gonna need everyone else to come back to the void. The rest of you just see them tumble head over heels out after just a huge and this necrotic energy just pushes against all of you. You all are pushed back. You're not fall prone, but the two of them are. And all you hear is echoing throughout the chamber as the phylactery lands down onto the ground next to Horatio and Cal. What's his name? Julian runs on over towards you. What was that?
I've never felt such a dark force before.
It's death incarnate.
The Aegis, Hades.
He's this lich?
Yes.
Why?
Just a servant.
Did you destroy him?
No, this lich was his minion.
When we destroy this phylactery, he'll be destroyed for good.
It seems our
problems are getting bigger. Let's destroy this phylactery first.
I read up on destruction of phylactery. Is there any information that I can provide. I assume that we need some divine powers here. So is there anything that I can say to help our divine?
Well, you do know that you got many holy water, holy waters that King had created, and you saw many rituals that you can use.
Didn't, but we can use it now to get rid of him forever. King, do you know what you need to do?
No, you read the book. Tell me. I'll conduct the ritual.
DM, is there
yes
a light, like a candle burning inside of this lantern as it was described, still?
Not a candle burning, but this dark necrotic soul that's just getting brighter very minutely every so often.
Horatio, try taking that holy water and dousing the light.
Where is this light that you're describing?
So they have what looks to be like a lantern.
Here, I'll give him a vial.
Quickly, before it gets any larger.
Yes, and I would bring it out of this circle here to King.
Okay, hold it. I'll do it. And I take out one of the statically charged vials of holy water, and I'll say, "In the name of all things holy, the old gods and the new."
Okay, so King, you open up you opening up with your hand?
I'm uncorking the like vial that we have, and then I'll like walk over to like the mage hand and like dump it in the mage hand that's holding the lantern.
Okay,
try and dump it on the flame.
So there's a little latch that opens up this lantern. The mage hand opens it up, revealing the flame as soon as it opens up, and as you put in the douse, there's just a wave of dark energy. As you just see spirits start to come out, the spirits within this place become restless, and you see all the undead spirits that Valshroon has accumulated in here begin to just pop out, swirl around you. You all look around as these ghosts are spinning. They're not doing any damage, but they're swirling around you. But there's a wind pushing back the water as King, you start speaking your incantation. Monaco, you're praying as it's going on, and the water is falling down onto the flame, but it's almost getting pushed up. Think of it as water being pushed up with air, as it doesn't want to touch. I need you, King, as you're forcing it to go down, using your prayers, to roll me an religion or arcana check. It's up to you.
Since I'm trained in both of these equally, I feel like religion is a more potent thing right now, and I pray with all my might to the gods, and I say also to these spirits that are floating around, I cleanse you, I offer you waters of sanctuary, be free, and I will use my last luck point of the day and reroll that. Much better. But I'm just gonna overdo it and use two sorcery points as well to get... Oh no, I can't do that. I can only do that for other people's. 22. Religion.
Okay. So, the 22, and you go ahead and push down using your energy. The force is strong. The energy of Hades, the energy of Valshroon, it's powerful. You're trying to push against it using your prayers, and you put deeper and deeper as the water starts to push against the wind and slowly drip. The flame starts to go down a little bit more. As the flame starts to go down more and more. Until finally falling down onto the flames, that's the flame of the soul of Valshroon. It completely douses out, and then everything goes quiet for a moment, and then you hear as a black wave ruptures across this entirety of this cavern. The illusion, the conjuration of this entirety of this dungeon starts to fade away and crackle and begin to shake. The sky, the ceiling begins to fall down as the walls start to fall apart. The statues explode and start to fall apart, as you get the feeling that everything in here is going to come undone. But as that's happening, as you're standing there, there are piles of rocks falling onto you. So I'll need you all to roll me dexterity saving throws.
Grab onto me. I can get us out of here.
Julian, grab his staff.
And as soon as everyone is in contact, either with each other and with Horatio, I will cast teleport using my 8th level slot because I don't have a 7th right now. And I will teleport us out of here. Teleporting us to... I would say... did we establish a rendezvous point with the other people that were attacking or no?
They were like outside of it, remember? No, because I made that temple, but you can't teleport into my temple.
No, I would. Then I would teleport to the door of the temple.
Okay. So you go ahead and grab everyone. What happened to the rest of the group who went to the other side? You don't know, but everything is falling on there. And Julian goes, my team, my, and then he just grabs on. And when you do so, you all, the circle beneath your feet appears and more rocks. Oh, well, hold on, rewind. So your dexterity saving throws. So we have Monaco rolled a 20, that's a succeed. Duran with a 23, that's a success. Cal with a 23, that's a success. Horatio with a 32, that's a success. King with a 14, that is a failure. So King, you... Everyone jumps out the way as Horatio, you begin to make do the spell to have everyone in there. Julian jumps out the way as well and managed to grab onto. As you try to do it, King, there is a rock that comes down, unable to get out the way. It falls directly onto your back, doing 15 points of bludgeoning damage as you were just cracked with a boulder from this collapsing dungeon. And as you do, as you get hit, you grab onto Horatio, who finally completes a spell before teleporting you out as the rest of this entire dungeon starts to collide and crash. The rocks fall in. You apparate back outside of the temple, looking off behind you in the distance, seeing where you guys entered. And looking back in the distance, you see the large structure that was a dungeon start to fade away, crumble into the ground, leaving in its wake nothing but just rocks and landslide, and just whatever city or town was here is just gone, and just nothing but rubble. Rainbow Ridge is no more. So as you guys appear outside of the temple that King has created, Julian takes a deep breath. Hold on. And it looks like he's casting the sending spell, same somatic and verbal properties. And after about a minute, you see him take a deep sigh. They're fine. When it was crumbling, they were able to escape. They're on here. They're gonna rendezvous. Good job. I underestimated you, liberators. Job well done.
Where's you guys... able to grab any of Valsharoon's items?
Yes, I was able to grab these. So maybe they'll be of use. He opens it up, pulls out Valsharoon's robes, pulls out the snake head staff, and pulls out the crown.
We must be careful while we inspect these.
Oh.
They may
be
cursed.
Do not rush into this.
Absolutely. I will, while we're waiting for the rendezvous, Horatio will sit up and put the three items in front of him. And take 30 minutes to ritually cast Identify on each of them.
Oh, okay.
30 minutes, 10 minutes each.
One, I was like, that's a long time.
No.
It's technically, it's 1 minute plus 10.
So 33 minutes. 33 minutes, I'm sorry.
I have the spell slot available, so the Temple of Myleki and Nyx lasts 24 hours, so I will renew the temple's energy with a 7th level spell slot and renew it for another 24 hours in case we want to rest here and recreate our sanctuary.
Rest in the sanctuary.
Or not recreate, but like...
make sure we don't get spit out the sanctuary.
Make sure it doesn't disappear. Yeah.
So as those of you go into the sanctuary, go in or stay out and continue your casting.
Right, yeah.
The horses come up about 15 minutes within that time. Oh, excuse me. Horses come up within 15 minutes. And how did everything go? They look beaten up. Bitten, battered. Some of them have acid things. One of them looks poisoned. They just look really bad, like they've been through a lot.
Please rest. We succeeded.
People come up. That's amazing. Thank you so much. I thought we were going to be goners, but everything disappeared. Suddenly, and then everything fell. We were able to get out there. Thank you so much, everyone. Are you all right, Captain?
I'm fine. I'm glad you're all right. We did it. We've succeeded. We defeated the undead scourge that
warped and perverted our planes. Job well done, everyone. And thank you to the Liberators. And they all say, to the Liberators! And go in and rest up, heal their wounds.
Julian, do you think the land will recover in time?
In time, I think so. I hope so. I pray it on the old gods and the new. And he walks in to the... he's really bad and bruised as well, so he walks in kind of holding his back, walking in there, though he's trying his best to show that he is not that injured. He looks back at Cal before entering in there. You do your father proud. I'm sorry if I insulted you before. He looks at his sword, looks back at you, gives you a nod, and continues heading in.
You honor that blade.
As you honor those guns. So... half an hour passes, and if you're going in to rest, you go in to rest and eat and do all the things that are within there. But if you're staying and completing and waiting for the completion of the spell does complete, and you have... you realize all three of these items are cursed, but with whoever wears them will fall prey to the curse of the Lich. You won't turn into a Lich, but you will, your alignment will be shifted. You'll have darker thoughts until eventually your body will become lich-like, like a demi-lich, if you put them on before removing the curse. But there are other things you discover from it and find that one of them is a legendary item, and that is the robe. It is a robe of the Magi. What the robe of the Magi does is... well, robe of the Arch-Magi. If you aren't wearing any armor, your base armor class is 15 plus your dex. You have advantage on saving throws and spells and other magical effects. And your spell DC and spell attack bonus increase by 2.
Nice.
The crown.
I wonder who's going to want the crown.
This item, although black and decrepit, this crown that he has, it does have several different gems in it, you notice at this point. And it is a helm of brilliance. And you could do this. There's a lot to it. So the dazzling helmet is set with 1d10 diamond. Oh, let me roll. I guess I have to roll to see how many. With diamonds, rubies, fire opals, and regular opals. A gem pried from the helmet crumbles to dust. When all the gems are removed and destroyed, the helmet loses its magic. You can use an action to cast one of the following spells, say spell DC 18, using one of the helm's gems as specified. So it's an opal, it's daylight, fire opal, fireball, prismatic spray, diamond, or wall of fire, ruby. Which you surmise were some of the things that he was doing, that you kept fucking dispelling. But, as long as one diamond is in it, the helmet emits dim light for 30 feet radius. It's currently cursed, so it does something different. What it does while it's cursed, you're not too sure. It's being augmented for more of a lich demeanor, but once you remove the curse, this is what it'll do. As long as the helm has at least one ruby, you have resistance to fire damage. As long as it has one fire opal, you can use an action to speak a command word to cause one weapon you're holding to burst into flames. The flame emits 10-foot radius of dim light for an additional 10 feet, and the flames are harmless to you and the weapon, and when you hit with the blazing weapon, the target takes one extra d6. So basically, you get your own fire thorn.
Ooh.
And finally, the staff. Okay. It is a staff of serpent power. So, it can turn into a snake, or a snake creature, a large snake that you can use to attack, but if the snake is killed, the staff is destroyed. Also, it raises your AC by 1, and your spell attack by 1. It also gives you control over serpentine creatures.
And that's how he was able to control the Nagas.
As you can surmise.
He wasn't even a real lich. Fucking snakes. He had a staff.
All right. But those are the items that you got from the...
So, once he gathers all this information, he grabs all three items. If King is next to him, he'll say, this is what they do, and they're currently all cursed. So, for any of us, use them.
Wow. That's... should be expected, to be honest, that they're all the possessions of a strong lich, so it makes sense. We should be, like, doubly or triply sure that these items taint have been removed before any of us decide to use them, or even if we decide to sell or give them away.
I too can remove curses.
Okay, do you need help?
Well... there we go.
We also have extra holy water in case you need it. What do you need to remove the curse?
Just a touch.
Items are just items. It is the user and the will and intent of the one in command that matters. Once they have been cleansed of their taint and they are renewed,
also,
perhaps we'll have a different feeling towards them.
Also, Kelimvor helped free these items from the terrible power using them. Maybe once we remove these curses, we can begin to find balance in doing some good with them.
All right. So as you all go back into the room, to the hut, to rest... As you all go back into the temple that King created, you see everyone else tending to their wounds and resting. Julian walks up towards you all. So, now that that's done, I hate to say we don't have much time to rest. We have to assault... Well, we have to meet up with the forces of King Terminus and discuss our plans in entering Shiverin. I've alerted him of the news of our success. He's extremely pleased and wishes to give you all a reward once everything is done for what you have done for all of Thelos. No, Duskhaven. But he wants us to meet up at... He wants us to travel down to Shimmerdrift. That's a keep. And also we have... We plan on leaving from Shimmerdrift Watch and entering Fia, possibly through... entering Shiverin, possibly through Broken Bay or around that area. Obviously, my sending spell can only fill so much words, but he'll be waiting for us at Shimmerdrift Watch. So rest up. We leave first thing after we're all rested and ride.
Julian.
Yes?
We should ride for Beach Bell. We have a ship docked there that we can go straight to Shimmerdrift from there.
That would cut the time down. So be it. We'll head to Beach Bell. Take your ship. Dock into Shimmerdrift. We could possibly even use your ship to enter into Shiverin. But that is for the king to decide. Rest up, everyone. In about 6 hours, we head out. Thank you again, liberators. You've done well. And he goes and retires into his sleeping quarters that he was at the night before. So as you all rest up, spending a few hours to clean yourselves and get ready before you head off, time passes by, and Julian walk about... Since it's
not... How many hours?
Julian would probably want to get out there in 4 hours, giving you enough hours to rest up, at least in repair and take account of everything that happened. So say 4 hours pass.
Awesome. I'm going to take three more second winds then.
Okay. And Julian walks up. Everyone, it's time. We head to Beach Bell, ride on the ship that the liberators have. Can it fit all of us? He says, looking at you. Great. All right, so we ride off. Head to Beach Bell. And make our way to Shimmerdrift. There we will convene with the king, and then we'll see what happens next. Come, everyone. We ride. And the rest of them all get up, grab their things, and head to their horses.
Soon we get to liberate our homeland.
To their horses, and Julian looks over towards you. Come, summon your steeds. We ride.
All right. You've heard it. Caliburn, let's go. And I'll... toss it into the air and have it shatter into its pieces and form our unicorn.
You all have
steeds.
Your unicorn steeds appear before you, hopping onto them. You take one last look at the rubble that was the dungeon of Val Sharoon, making out of there a close call, but successful nonetheless, with many boons and items that you are able to now use in your further journeys. You ride off to the southwest, heading towards Beach Bell. Cal, a wind blows and a chill down the back as the laughter of Hades echoes into your ear. You look back one last time and you can still feel his presence in the area. With now a new sense of duty, join the rest of your group on horseback and continue riding down. And that is the end of Season 2 of Descent into the Void.
Ooh! Ooh! Oh my god, that was...
We're done.
That was rough.
That was a lot.
Thank you so much, everybody, for coming. Thank you so much for our listeners. We love you from the first chapter to the last page. Be kind to one another. Love one another. And we'll see you next time at the start of Season 3. Goodbye, everyone.